I want you to turn with me for a few moments to Numbers chapter 27. A short prayer, but a very significant one. Verse 18. Let's hear God's word together. So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom the Spirit is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Make him stand before Eleazar, the priest, and the entire assembly, and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority, so that the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decision for him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command, they will come in." Moses did as the Lord commanded him. And he took Joshua and made him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. And then he laid his hand on him and commissioned him as the Lord had instructed through Moses. Let us pray together. Lord, by the power of your Spirit, speak to us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. That was God's response. Noah, or Moses, had asked a very simple prayer in verse 15. May the Lord, the King, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them and bring them in, so that the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. Listen to it again. May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them and bring them in, so that the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. What a request. He looked out at humanity. He looked out at what was the equivalent of the church in the Old Covenant or Old Testament. And he said, I don't want them to be sheep without a shepherd. I want them to be guided, instructed by God. I want them to experience God's power and presence and grace. I want them to obey God. I want God to anoint someone in order for that to happen. It was a simple prayer, but it was a heartfelt prayer. He looked out at the mess and he said, I don't want that mess to mess things up. I want God's people to be guided by God. I want them to be committed to God. I want them to love God. I want them to serve God. I want them to obey God. I want them to be sold out for God. And I will make it a prayer that that is the case. This is not about me. It's about those around me. I am more worried about the blessing that others receive at this point, rather than my own blessing and own inheritance. And so the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. The qualification was clear. In a man that evidences the Spirit. Lay your hand on him. Now that person will be marked by certain characteristics. They will be people who obey God. Because in this passage, he says, Moses did as the Lord commanded him. The Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and made him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. Then he laid his hand on him and commissioned him as the Lord instructed through Moses. And also, if you look up that passage a little further, it says in verse 21, he is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. So there was obedience and guidance and spirit empowerment that demonstrated this person's leadership role. We need to be in a right relationship with God if we are to lead anyone. Or you're to do any ministry, or you're seeking to glorify God or to honor God or exalt God in your life or my life. If we truly want people to find the shepherd, we must listen to the shepherd's voice. If we truly want people to follow Jesus, it's because we are following him. And we do not appear inconsistent or hypocritical. The evidence of our lives will be the evidence that they will evaluate. Is this person true to God's word? Are they true to themselves? And are they truth within the community that they live? I've been challenged particularly by something that R.T. Kendall said when I was watching TBN UK on Open Book. And he said this. He said it is possible to have an external anointing and lose your internal anointing. And I am fearful of that. And here's the reason why I'm fearful of that. As I look around the church today, I don't know what sort of life people in leadership are leading. I don't know. And I'm fearful. And what makes me fearful is that if R.T. Kendall is right, and I suspect that he might be, that all the churches that we look at that appear to have numerical blessings, that appear to be the in place to be, that appear to have the greatest type of worship, the most attractive form of services, the most gifted speakers, doesn't tell us anything about their internal anointing. What it does tell us is that God is gracious. That's all. And that if he can use a donkey in the Old Testament, he can use anybody who stands at the front. And what I am frightened of is that even in those capacities, those in leadership may confuse external anointing for internal anointing. That in some senses, because they appear to be so successful in ministry and everything is going so well and they're getting the applause of people, and they're be given a celebrity status, that in some senses they think this is an affirmation of their ministry, when in fact all it is a confirmation of God's grace. The fact that God will use anyone in order to reach everyone. Because he does not want them to be sheep without a shepherd. Now here's the point. What is more important than anything else today is what is your internal anointing? Do you know the peace of God in your heart? Do you know the blessing of God in the inner space, in the place that no one else sees? Do you have a relationship with God? Do you truly commune with Him? Are you obedient to Him? Do you love Him with all your heart, soul, and mind? Forget how He blesses you externally. But what is that relationship like with Him on a Monday? What is it like when no one else sees you? Are you consistent? Or do you watch things that you should not watch? Or do you say things that you should not say? Or do you do things that you should not do? But because no one else sees them, then you can get away with it. Because in public, everything seems to be going so sweetly, so well. What God wants is for His people, you and I, to have both an external anointing and an internal anointing. He wants us to be blessed, not just publicly, but privately. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, obedient to the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, equipped by the Spirit. And we must be, because the world depends on it. And we depend on it. Because something Kendall said also concerned me. That if we're more worried about, and I'm paraphrasing, if we're more worried about how people perceive us publicly and our affirmation before men, then we have received our reward. End of story. And that frightens me. Because if all of our work is going to be burned up as wood and stubble, and we're going to be saved by the skin of our teeth, and we stand before God and say, this is what I did for you. And God says, no, you didn't. You did it for yourself. I just happened to bless it. But you did it for your own acclaim. You did it to please others. You did it for popularity. You did it for 101 reasons, but not the right one. You may not hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And how tragic that would be. So pray that God protects us all. That He gives us a real internal anointing. He gives us transparency before Him and integrity before others. And that we are true to God and true to ourselves. And that we truly humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He would raise us up to do His work, to build His church, to be His people. Fill us with power and grace and authority. Tonight, as you go home and pray to God, or as you pray right now, say, Lord, close the gap between who I am publicly and what I am privately. Close the gap between my external anointing and my internal anointing. Close the gap so that when I stand before you in heaven, you truly will say, well done, good and faithful servant, because that's what you were. And that's what we need to be. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in these moments that the power of your Holy Spirit would still continue to wrestle with our hearts and minds and souls, and that your blessing would be internal as we then live it out externally before others. In Jesus' name.